Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good times.
But so many poor choices.
This is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
And, I got engaged this past weekend. The whole life has provided me quite a bit of comfort. But it's official.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still in shock, personally.
It's very exciting. It's a major milestone in your life.
Yeah. And something I never anticipated would actually happen to me. And not because I'm not worth it or worthy. I just didn't think I would find another person that I would want to have, you know, propose to me. Like, real selective, you know what I mean? Real picky. But yeah, it turns out this man of mine, he does all right. He got me a custom ring, a big custom ring, and totally fucking surprised me. Because we were on a hike in Boulder, Colorado. It was just great. I am so thrilled. I'm a fiance now.
I know. It'll get real weird when you have to start saying, like, your soon-to-be husband. And put that into your vocabulary more.
Right. I can no longer be like, oh, my man's. I got to be like, my husband's. We got
the fiance.
Yeah. He's already started calling me the yonts. Hey, yonts.
Funny. That's cute.
It is. It's super funny, super cute. But for anybody who's wondering, I have no idea for any of the questions you have rolling around in your brain. We'll know more when we get there. But we're reveling in this surprise proposal for the time being.
Yeah, it's only been a couple of days. I mean, even when they hear it, it's only going to be a week. So
right, it'll literally be a week.
I don't think there's any answers that you need to have.
I don't care if I have them anytime soon either. So good. Yeah, I have no idea. I was never anticipating I would get married. I thought I would be a single cat lady, living out my years with my best furry friends, and this is a fun surprise. So here we are.
Well, good for you. It's always it's always nice to have a surprise that, like, you kind of still knew. Like, it's not like it was, you know, not talked about at all. Yeah. But the fact that it was still taking you aback, you didn't know when, you didn't really have any idea of how.
Yeah.
You guys didn't go like ring shopping together.
No, no,
so,
we did not.
You know.
No. He was sly. He started asking me about rings and what I liked and didn't like. And every time we went to Costco, he'd point to one and be like, oh, that one's pretty. And I'd be like, eh, it's all right. You know, being honest. And so, like, he took all of the inspiration that I sent him and went to a jeweler and had my ring custom made. So that was remarkable. I feel very fortunate in that regard because my ring is custom for me. And then in terms of, like, he didn't embarrass the fuck out of me and ask me to marry him in front of a stadium full of people or, you know, in the middle of a restaurant.
I would never. Ugh, I would never.
You know what I mean? Like, that in and of itself.
Like, ask me at home.
Right. When we're in our gym jams. Yeah, like, I didn't have any makeup on. I had a lot of, like, zinc sunscreen on my face. Like, there was a potential for me to look like a total idiot throughout this. Not really glad I didn't, because we had somebody there, one of his friends filmed it for us, which, you know, apparently now I'm realizing isn't always the case. Not everybody has that foresight to be like, hey, will you come film this for me, this moment? And so I'm very lucky to have that on in some way, digital film or whatever. And then he didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell a soul that we know except for his buddy that came with us to do the filming or whatever. So, like, everybody was surprised. And yeah, I couldn't really ask for a better. I never had a proposal in mind, so what he did was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah, the key to all good relationships, set the expectations low.
Right. Or just don't have any and watch what happens.
Well,
I mean, you're allowed to have a lot of expectations. It's just, are they realistic or not?
Sure. Well, I'm sure everybody's very excited and
I hope so.
On the edge of their seat waiting for more details whenever you're ready to share them.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
In the meantime, you're used to being called future wife.
Right. Or Yance, as he's so lovingly calling me, which I find to be hilarious.
I mean, that's really funny. I like that a lot. But it still is different, like, to wrap your mouth around the words wife and husband, you know?
Yeah. 100%. And the funny thing is, like, we are very close, obviously. And when we go out and we, you know, we'll meet people together, or as an example, our chiropractor, we share a chiropractor. And, like, when they asked him about me, they were asking him about his fiance. Like, they just assumed that we were engaged. And so it's kind of cute to see that some people had these preconceived notions of where we were at in our relationship versus where we were. So now I get to go in tomorrow and be like, guess what? Bleep, 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 bleep. And they're going to be like, oh. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
they're going to be like, we spoke it into fruition.
Yeah, essentially. But yeah, so that's fun. It's just, yeah, my fiance. It was funny, like, the whole trip home, we're like, we're engaged now. This is crazy. Hey, fiance. So it was just, it's just fun. It brings a new little funness to the relationship, you know, excitement for the time being.
Yeah. Well, you've unlocked the next level.
Yeah, I upgraded my subscription. Yeah. We got a new package.
Yeah. No commercials.
No. None. Unfettered access.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm happy that you guys are both happy and
thank you.
Excited for you. And
yeah,
we'll just, you know, sit over here and mind our business until you tell us otherwise.
Don't mind it. Give me all of the thoughts. It's okay. Let me know how y'all really feel. Yay.
Are you ready for our hoe of history?
Oh, I certainly am. Oh, I get to live vicariously through these women.
A lot of these women were married, though. So
yeah, I know. I'm just joking. That's just at this point.
I was the opposite of you, and was living the single life, hanging out with girlfriends, got a little wine drunk, a little too much brunch action, and did not fully prepare a story for today. So what I did was reached into my handy dandy trusty book that I had picked up from Walgreens.
Oh my God, I love this.
The Wild Women of Michigan. A History of Spunk and Tenacity by Miss Norma Lewis.
Yes, Miss Norma. Saving that day.
So she is. And I started reading a story. I mean, I read several of them before I landed on one. And then I went and Googled the hoe of history. Did not find any further information.
You're kidding. This is curious. No, I'm really excited. It's all,
yeah, I mean, even the Wikipedia page is pretty short. So I thought that was interesting. But also, thank God, because I didn't prepare until a half an hour before this recording.
I am at a limited capacity. So as you guys once again can understand, we run a real ship. Looser and different. Tight, not so much.
Right. Could I have rescheduled to another day?
Certainly.
Sure. But Norma, saving the day.
But also we're humans. So there is that.
Right?
Why perpetuate the inevitable when you can just do it right now?
Lost total track of time. I time traveled yesterday.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. Yes, I know that feeling. I time travel on Sundays by myself when I'm cleaning sometimes. I'm like, oh shit, it's 4 o'clock. I drank this entire bottle. I need to figure that my life. I gotta make moves.
So I'm going to talk about Ella Eaton Kellogg, which we are all familiar with the Kellogg brand cereals.
We certainly are.
And a lot of people know that Kellogg's headquarters is in Michigan. Like, I don't think that that is uncommon knowledge.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Yes.
From the famous Biggie.
Yeah, you did a pretty good job impersonating him.
Thank you.
So Ella Eaton was born in Alfred Center, New York in 1853. Now, there wasn't a lot about her childhood. It seems as though she was East Coast. There was one blip that I saw where it said like her growing up in rural Michigan, but I don't think that that was like a permanent thing. She may have gone back and forth because she had family in Michigan. She like had her parents were connected all the way back to like early settlers of America. You know, I mean, they were just, from what I can tell, pretty boring white people.
I wonder with her, like the other bigger names that you've done, if they've scrubbed the books a little bit on her history to just make it kind of squeaky clean.
I mean, it's possible. We also may just not have much.
Also true.
I mean, she was born in 1853. So
fair.
It could be possible, though, on both fronts. So she graduated from Alfred University in 1872 with the equivalent of today's Bachelor of Arts degree in Classic Studies. So one source said she was 16, but then this book and another source said that she was 19 when she graduated from college.
Okay.
which made her the youngest person, male or female, ever to graduate from college. Say,
regardless, 16 yes. or 19, she was still in her teens, and that's never been done before. That's pretty cool. Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was done with school and was visiting her aunt in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is where Kellogg's is headquartered. Mm-hmm. And that's where she met the man who would change her life. In case your love story was not enough.
Bum, bum, <ba-dum. laughs>
But in order for her to meet him, it was because she actually stayed. She chose to stay during an outbreak of typhoid fever.
Of course she did.
It completely crippled the city.
I'm not going to lie. Seth and I started dating in the beginning of COVID. So very similar, very similar.
She wanted to stay on to help nurse people back to health.
Oh my gosh, remarkable.
Yeah. So that is how she got the attention of prominent Battle Creek physician, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg.
Oh, John Harvey.
So he was the proprietor of the Battle Creek Sanitarium. And it was often called the SAN. And it treated patients holistically, relying on a vegetarian diet, exercise, enemas, things of that nature. And they were the teachings of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So, little mix there of God and country. So Dr. Kellogg and his brother Will worked together and were soon known for their invention of cornflakes.
Oh.
It was a happy accident that they came across this. Someone forgot to remove a tray of a corn mixture from the oven. When it was discovered, a new breakfast food was born.
Bum, bum, ba-da. Or just food in general.
Some mixture was right. left unattended in an oven for too long. I know. So soon, the SAN was treating the likes of Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, William Henry Taft, you know, just nobodies. So obviously these are like notable people, and they were able to find healing through his natural treatments. So Dr. Kellogg invites Ella to become a charter member of his School of Hygiene.
Oh.
So she was into this. She liked it. She actually took the idea and ran with it and came up with a whole new field of study called dietetics.
No shit.
She was basically a dietitian.
Yeah, she's the first formal dietitian.
Yeah. So dietetics, which is the way that's how it's written. So that's how I'm pronouncing it.
Right.
But it reminds me of other culty religious names.
Yeah, definitely has the beginnings of it.
Because Scientology has like books or whatever that it's very close to that name. So dietetics, that was food selection and preparation based on science. Super which again, culty. Like I said, Scientology has a very, it's called the dietetics or something. I can't remember. But anyway, I was like, okay, this is all a little culty, maybe a little too religious.
I'm uncomfortable.
Basically, they're thriving. And they get married in 1879, and they worked together until her death in 1920. So, she passed away at 67. So, you know,
not very long.
I feel like it's a pretty good life. For
well, I guess, yeah, for the 1800s, yeah.
But also, I'm conflicted because I'm like, yeah, no, it doesn't feel that long when you're the healing center. Anyway. So she worked her ass off and gained national recognition as a dietitian, writer, and children's advocate. So for more than 40 years, she served as an editor and major contributor to Good Health magazine, which was published by her husband. Do you see how, like, this story is a little culty?
I mean, have you ever seen the brand Kellogg? Real PC, real spot on.
Yeah. So that was just like a small part of her responsibilities of being like the editor of this magazine and contributor. She found that one of the initial problems with health food was just that it didn't taste very good.
Yeah.
And to remedy that, she took over the kitchen, where through trial and error, she began turning out dishes with both visual and taste appeal. So it wasn't long before she developed like some of her own recipes and provided menus and had developed kind of guides for 3 meals a day for both the staff and the patients.
Oh, interesting.
So kind of like a assisted living situation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they cook everything there, deliver it to you. You've got a set menu. So then not only is she doing all of these other things as the first person ever.
You know, making it up as we go.
Yeah, she really was all about providing for children and being an advocate for children. And she decided to expand some of her ideologies into child raising and made major contributions to home economics by founding the School of Home Economics, which later became part of Battle Creek College, and a cooking school held at the sanitarium. And in 1888, her and Dr. Kellogg began a school of domestic economy.
What does that mean?
So out of that came a book for which she is best known called Science in the Kitchen.
Gosh.
And of course, her husband has a publishing company because he has the magazine. So he has Health Publishing that released her book. And this book has a lengthy subtitle called A Scientific Treatise on Food Substances and Their Dietetic Properties, together with a practical explanation of the principle of healthful cookery and a large number of palatable and healthful recipes.
Cookery.
That was the whole subhead. Yes.
Oh, what an aggressive amount of crazy. But also that they turned into, like, you know, modern enough that people would actually buy it and buy into it. So, like,
right.
It's almost like what are those? I can't think of a company offhand, but it's like, oh, they look like they're representing something. And then you dig in, you're like, oh, I don't want to do, I want no part of this. This is psychotic what they're doing here. Like, once you uncover things.
I know. I should have looked up the book to see what it was like inside. So she's very dedicated to her work with children. And unfortunately, her and her husband were not able to have any biological children. So they basically took on adopting a whole army. Like, they raised like 40 kids.
Holy shit.
They adopted 8 and they opened up or yeah, they opened up a orphanage called Haskell Orphanage. So they basically were there to provide, and many times there would be 150 residents at this orphanage. So for more than 25 years, she was the CEO of like her home because she had so many people. I mean, in theory, they were all children, but still, like,
but they're insane. Still people. That's still something to manage. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy to me.
So she,
it's like, what's that family that keeps having the babies? 23 and counting or whatever.
Like the Duggars?
Yes, them.
Again, culty.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the want to help and make better, but also very culty.
Mm-hmm. So she published numerous articles and books on the subject of teaching childhood and home economics and things like that.
Yeah.
And one of them was called Talks with Girls.
Oh, like Chicken Noodle Soup for the Teenage Soul books?
I think so. Yeah. So she made a name for herself nationally by serving as National Superintendent of Hygiene and heading up the National Department of Mothers Meetings and Child Care Circles. She was also a founding member of the American Dietetic Association.
The dietetic thing is what kills me the most, I think.
Dietetic. Like, it's D-I-E-T-E-T-I-C.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking they made their own word up. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
good
yeah.
on them. Fuck it.
I mean, she was making up everything.
Just goes to show that if you think you know what you're talking about, or you act like you know what you're talking about, people believe you know what you're talking about. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Fake it till you make it, y'all.
Right.
You too could have the Kellogg Empire if you really wanted.
Yeah. Just leave some random mixture in the oven for too long. So our author here, Norma, writes, while some might think Ella Eaton Kellogg's plate was already piled a little too high, she never shied away from a deep felt responsibility to take on leadership roles in other issues of the day, both local and national. So some of those were like memberships in the Michigan Women's Press Association, the American Home Economics Association, the Women's League, and the YWCA. And Norma says, had there been an Overachievers Association, she probably would have served as its poster child.
More than likely. Love her.
Despite spending her entire adult life using her many talents to promote healthful living, Ella herself had numerous health issues, including deafness during her later years. Following her death, Alfred University established the Ella Eaton Scholarship in her name. So that is the story of Miss Ella Eaton Kellogg.
I love this. I love this so much. I love how culty it is. And I wish I think I might end up doing a deep dive on my own just to see. Because, like, I found another, like, article about her. And she essentially said that she condemned condiments as irritants, not worth the fleeting pleasure they may provide to the palate.
Well, like,
was she a food Nazi?
I mean, was she one of those? Condiments, like, are questionable as far as how much you really should eat them when the majority of ours here in the United States are corn syrup. You know, high fructose corn syrup is like a problematic ingredient. And so unless you were in Europe, you maybe where you actually had real ground mustard.
Right.
Like, yes. I can get her point.
And she also laid out a reasoned argument against meat in an age before federal meat standards. So, like, her book said that, hey, you can't eat this meat after this time. Ha!
Yeah.
That's impressive.
They were very vegetarian focused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had like a specialized health food you could order via mail. Look at her go. I can't wait. Can't wait to dive in on that crazy.
See, the first like four articles that I read were all like succinct and short and basically like bios of the same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. U of M has an interesting thing happening about it. Because, you know, or not U of M, Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for shedding light on Big Cereal for us. Humble origins. Humble origins of Big Cereal.
Yeah. I was like, I could go down a whole other path here.
Yeah, they could have went the weird way.
Yeah.
But I also think that there is some weird to be had in it. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, at one point,
or I mean, like throughout her life, taking care of 40 children and actually legally adopting 8 of them. Like, wow.
Yeah, like,
that's why I said all these like religious people who want have like a million children, and then she couldn't even have her own children. So then she was like, well, let me just create my own little army.
Right.
And I'm being kind here because, you know, I'm doing a lot of speculation, but.
Right. I also feel like it was maybe a little more nefarious. Like she was kind of control-y and wanted to control some folks. I'm just saying.
I feel like there's multi-prong.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
There is probably some goodness in her heart. And legitimately her wanting to help people. I mean, she decided to stay during a typhoid outbreak.
This is true. You
on
have
her
a
own
good
accord,
point.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, I
fair.
Feel like it's down in there somewhere that it is, she had a good core and at some point it was meaningful. But almost wondering how much of it was also her trying to pass on, this is what we believe or what we think is right and you should too.
Right. That's where I'm at. Like, how much of it was ego driven versus kindness of the heart? Which, mm-hmm. whatever, they still have delicious cereal. So, shout out to Frosted Flakes. Shit's not, none of that shit's healthy for you. Like, the irony of what she set out to do versus what's actually happening now in the cereal
world.
Well,
they initially had cornflakes that probably didn't have sugar on them.
Exactly.
And
well, no.
Then they were like, oh, well, if we want this to be a business,
these need to taste good.
We need to make some stuff that tastes good.
Like, I wonder,
they
are
tapped
they
into, again, they tapped into the kid market.
Right. I wonder if they're responsible for grape nuts. Because that shit's gross, but also not gross at the same time. Like, when did it not become gross? I don't know.
What's grape nuts?
Have you never heard of grape nuts before?
Is that a type of cereal?
Yes.
I don't really eat cereal, so.
Child. Oh, my God. Grape nuts were. Okay, so grape nuts are graded by Post. So grape nuts is a cereal, which I personally didn't like until I got older. But it's a cereal that's been around since 1897. So there is, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 1897. I don't know the history behind it at all, but it's definitely like the first cereal that I, aside from Cream of Wheat or whatever, that's like dry cereal in a box, but you could heat it up in the milk to like make it warm.
Oh, okay.
It was like,
yeah, that definitely would not be my jam.
No, it was like the, you know, the health food in the morning cereal before actual
mm-hmm.
health food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Cracklin' Oat Bran. Remember that cereal?
Mm-hmm.
That was my grandpa's jam.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be like super healthy for you. No, it's full of sugar. and it's delicious because of that, and it's expensive because it's oat brand stuff, so you know what I mean, they're just pulling them over on us, but fucking grape nuts, man.
Well, is it Atta Girl time?
I do believe. Yes, it is.
Atta Girls are where something good has happened to us, or we have done something good, something we're proud of. A quick little pat on the back. My Atta Girl is I finally painted the Three Seasons room. I think it still might need one more coat, but I'm so excited. It's the first room in this house that I've put paint on the walls.
I'm so excited for the color also. This chic and expensive color that you threw on the walls there.
I know. I texted the Sherwin-Williams paint guy, you know, you know, our friend Aaron. And he sent me an audio message. And he was like trying to think of like, he's like, it's giving. And then he was like, dot, dot, dot. Like he didn't say dot, dot, dot. But, you know, like you could tell, like he was trying to think of like what it's giving. And he goes, well, that's just it. It's just, it's giving.
That's so fucking funny. I love that so much because he's not wrong. It is giving, bitch. It is serving. Just serving. Which excites me for the rest of the palette that we picked out that day. I can't wait to see how it comes to life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So hell yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
It's giving.
It's just, well, it's giving.
I think he might have even said, like, as they say.
Well, aside from being fiancé now, I had a really fun time on our trip this past week connecting friend groups. So I had a current coworker who ended up going to the show, you know, so we decided to link up and share friend groups that way. And then I had Seth and his friend, and then my friends. And so it was just really cool to kind of have all of those different worlds mesh and come together and like have a good time with each other and enjoy each other's company. And like, I sat back for a second in conversation just to kind of see like everybody at the table interacting. And it was just so heartwarming to see how everybody was getting along, and there was no weirdness. And it was just like a culmination of really cool people, you know, all coming together. So that's my Atta Girls. I got to experience all those different worlds clashing in the most positive way possible while we were out on vacation.
That's fun. That's nice. Yeah, that doesn't happen. You can't always blend your worlds together, especially as adult friends.
Right. Right. You know, especially from like all walks of life, people that you've known for 20 years versus people that you're just kind of adjacent to. So like it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that the whole trip was great.
Me too.
And not just the one shining moment, that the whole thing went over well.
Well, actually, the trip to Denver took every last... You know how when they're like, it could take up to an hour? It took the full hour. Like, everything took as long as you don't want it to take.
Oh.
Security sucked. I had pre-check. Pre-check line was exponentially slower than everybody else because they had three auditors behind the guy doing the x-ray machine. And he was, you know, taking his time because he was being audited. And like his bag got flagged, all of the different things, you know, we got to the airport with 2 hours and 15 minutes to get through and, you know, do all of our things. And it took all of that 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Stressful.
Yeah, we made it to the gate and we were the last people to walk up to the gate. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
fuck.
Yeah.
But then even the gate, it was taking forever to get people checked in. I was like, what's happening? Like, we were the last people because the people behind us were priority seating. So they decided to take their priority seating seriously and get in the front of the line in front of everybody. It's like, You don't have any bags to check. You have an assigned seat. You're just fucking selfish. Cool. Got it. Yeah. So the back end of the trip balanced it out.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. So that was good. But yeah. And there's all that. All the fun things. So.
If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends about us.
Tell your family at this point. Fuck it.
Tell somebody. Shit.
Oh, man, it's out.
Well, I didn't even say all the things.
Oh, all right.
I said you can follow us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can send us the whole of history you'd like us to do to homancepodcast@gmail.com. You can join the judgment free zone on Facebook. It's a closed group. Okay, now I think that's all the things.
All right, okay. Fine. Homance out.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.